November 12th, 2005. You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, Episode 11. It's episode 11. I'm the Jaystrom here in Mulberry once again. I'd like to welcome you all to the Cultural District, where we talk movies and TV and just everything that's on our minds, our strange minds that have been developed over time. Through pop culture.
Warped through pop culture.
Yeah. Oh, hey, who's that? That's Steven. What the hell are you doing here?
Hey, back from my...
I thought you were in La La Land or something.
I'm back. Got all my e-readings done. I'm good.
All right. So you seem very positive. As soon as you walked through the door, it was like a volcano erupting, much like Dianetic.
Now, like the old commercials for Dianetic.
So you had a successful audit?
I had many successful audits.
Many.
I feel
many of them.
So your body
was full of evil, so I guess, or negativity.
What did you say you had earlier? Many what?
E-meter readings?
E-meter readings.
Oh, no. He said e-readings.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we get the gist.
Hey, come on. That's the way we talk out there.
Oh, I got it. We just
the
get
lingo.
The internet rumors. We don't know what really goes on.
Yeah,
so
on
they don't call ecstasy E out there. They call it X, and they call e-meter readings E.
E-readings.
Okay. Now, Steven... basically, while you were out there, you did some reporting for us, and we'll get to that later in the show. Very exciting news. Also, we have here is Mulberry Bill. How's it going, Bill?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
Is your library still zombie fortified? Any zombies getting in there?
No zombies getting in here. Got my Remington shotgun.
Sweet.
And actually, I'm sorry. It's a Winchester.
Nice. Nice reference.
Yeah.
We're missing somebody. Oh, wait, it's Vanessa in the news booth.
Hey.
How you doing, Vanessa?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Having a good week?
Having a great week.
You
got
know
my receiver. I'm happy.
Oh, you got your new receiver all hooked up with 12.1 sound? Or
sounds
I
like
wish.
A full movie theater
you
there.
Know, guys, I'm happy to have Steven here and all you guys, but I'm kind of bummed out because this week is the Portable Media Expo or the Podcast Expo. It's like the podcast convention in Ontario, California, and we're missing it. It's kind of a bummer.
And I'm back from California missing
I know.
It.
Yeah, but we're only up to, what, this is our 10th episode?
11. This is our 11th episode.
Beyond.
But you know what? I promise you
good
guys.
Good Lord, this is the 11th?
I know. Can we just say right now that next year's Podcast Expo, we will be there.
We'll go.
Absolutely.
We're
going
to have our t-shirts. We're going to have our Nowhere in Mulberry mugs. I'm holding out to take any change anyone hands us.
Maybe we'll have some groupies.
But
we got to have some hoochies there with us.
The main thing about this thing...
What the hell's a hoochie?
That's Mulberry talk.
You know, girls bikinis and, you know.
No, yes, we do want hoochies. No, but anyway... the thing that I really want to learn here at this expo, a reason I want to go, is everyone's finding out how to market their podcast, how to make some money off this thing. And hell, hey,
other
wouldn't
than
you guys...
word of mouth like we're doing here?
I mean, how much would you guys love to just make a living off our podcast? I mean, maybe not. Maybe a meager living, but anyway, make some
you're
money.
You're not quitting
off of
your day job is what you're saying.
I wouldn't be interested in maybe making enough money to upgrade equipment.
Yeah,
make it more professional.
Or, you know, even to pay for bandwidth. You know,
absolutely.
Once the show's
because
paid
the
for
more,
bandwidth, that's pretty
more
cool.
Listeners we got, the more bandwidth we're using.
Yeah, and can I tell you guys right now, from month to month, we've used more bandwidth now than we did the first month. I mean, it's like the show's getting listened to more and more, so I'm very excited.
Awesome.
In fact, we're getting more voicemails from listeners.
More than zero?
More than zero is always good. And do you guys remember David called a couple of episodes ago, and he was talking about
one of the Napoleon Dynamite drops.
Yeah, and he loved Foggy very much. We got a voicemail from his now wife. Basically, David and Jen announced that they got married this week, and let's wish them all
congratulations.
Let's wish
them all. Congratulations, David and Jen.
Yay! Happy years together.
Or at least. Semi-happy.
Thanks for waking up there, Foggy. Foggy's like, oh, wait, sound, huh? Now, hey, let's go ahead and listen to Jen's voicemail.
Hi, this is Jen. I play with a few of you on multiple online games because I'm a horrible geek like that. I cannot believe I just listened to your 10th episode. I know it's a few days late. I normally listen to it the day of, but I cannot believe that you do not like Moulin Rouge. I am hurt. I actually told David that we can't listen to you guys anymore.
Uh-oh.
I am horribly hurt. I loved Moulin Rouge. I also loved Chicago and multiple other musicals because I'm a girl like that. That's the only way I'm a girl.
She's also a geek like that.
I cannot believe you guys don't like Moulin Rouge. I'm very hurt. That is one of the songs in that particular musical. It's going to be played at mine and David's wedding on Thursday. I am very hurt. That is all. Bye.
Okay, congratulations once again.
Again, she said it herself. It's a girl thing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm not going to lump it into being a girl thing.
She said it, not me. I'm not saying
well,
it.
Well, let me play again what happened on that episode. Let's listen.
Chicago, but I hated Moulin Rouge.
Oh, I couldn't watch 10 minutes of that movie.
The best way I can describe it is douche chills. when I watched Moulin Rouge, It didn't feel right. It was like I was watching it, and I was going, I started to question my sexuality. You know, it was that bad. I mean, them singing, like, modern songs.
It was retarded.
Yeah, it was really awful.
So, basically, Vanessa thought it was retarded.
I hated that movie. I'm sorry. I would rather if someone blew up, okay. But
now, I will say this about Moulin Rouge. And, Jen, we love your feedback. Give us more. Hey, you know, not everyone's going to agree on movies, you know. But I will say this. When I look at Moulin Rouge, it looks like a beautiful movie. Beautifully shot. Incredible sets. Incredible
lighting.
Sound. Incredible DTS track on the DVD. But, you know, those kind of movies aren't for
musicals,
everyone. Yeah. Like, I will tell you right now, and this is totally going to sound gay, but I love Grease. I can dig Grease all night long. What the hell am I talking? But anyway, Grease is good.
Grease, too.
Grease is the word, man.
You're a big Xanadu
cool
fan.
Writer.
Let me just justify my comments on Moulin Rouge.
Okay.
I don't hate the film.
Backpedaling!
Well, I'm backpedaling a little bit.
The guy was gay.
I don't...
Gay.
Stop it, Foggy.
Stop it, Foggy.
I don't hate the film. I think it's a beautiful film. I own the film on the discontinued,
beta.
Sadly,
on beta.
DVHS in 1080i high definition.
Wow.
It's
nice.
It's a gorgeous film.
I'm very hurt.
And yeah, I'm sorry that I said that I got douche chills from it, but there's just something about the film.
What a
even though it is a beautiful film, very well done. I have nothing against Baz Luhrmann's direction. I think it's gorgeous. I just can't get into it. The music takes me right out of it.
Well, you know what's funny, Bill, is my wife listened to the show and she was like, douche chills? That's gross. Couldn't he say feminine cleansing chills? And I just thought that was funny. Now, we also got a voicemail from her husband, and let's check that out. Foggy, roll it.
Hey, this is David again. Thanks for the Napoleon Dynamite. I'm a big fan of that.
Hey,
how
who
about
is
some more Office Space? Pretty much just more Foggy in general.
Oh, no.
The only thing I have to say about that is just don't have Foggy going over the news. Like, the news is happening.
Thank you.
Don't have long drops. But otherwise,
long drops.
During anything Steve or Steven or Bill are doing, just, you know, drops all over the place. that's what I want.
He's a Vanessa fan.
Did he just say, that's what I want at the end of it? So basically, David's now like our suit, our studio exec suit. Like, yeah. This is what I want.
He's handing down the orders from corporate.
I want I want short drops during the news, and I want drops all over what Stephen and Bill say.
Because we're completely unimportant to anything.
Wow.
Our comments are inane and ridiculous.
Pretty much just more foggy in general.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there stroke that ego.
Jen, you married a smart man.
Okay, David, I'll tell you this, Mitch. Foggy does not need any more ego stroking, all right? Let's just stop right there.
Stroking in general.
He doesn't need any more stroking.
Hey, keep that to yourself.
Are you ready to get in some entertainment, guys?
Yes, yep. Why not?
All right, indeed. Hey, guys, I'm really excited about the new Harry Potter film. I know, does that sound dorky or geeky? But
yes. No, not at all.
I love the whole Harry Potter series, and I'll admit this, I haven't read a single book. What about you, Stephen?
Ever?
I have never read a book. No, I've never read a Harry Potter book.
Yes, I have all the Harry Potter books.
Oh, you do? Good.
No, I'm just kidding. Don't have it.
Bill, you're a big reader.
You've got the library. You better have the book.
You're there in your zombie fortified post-apocalyptic library. Tell me
Harry
Potter.
Yes, I'm such an elitist ass that I actually bought the hardcover edition from Amazon UK.
Nice.
And I have the original, the English versions of the books. I've read them all.
Hey, I hear what you're saying. That is cool.
I am an elitist.
Now, have you read all, are you up to date? You've read every single one of them.
Yes or no?
Have you read every single book up to this date?
Yes, I have. I have read all of them.
Nice. Well, here's the thing. The new movie, the, I don't know.
Predators.
Goblet of Fire?
The Goblet. Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire is coming out this week, and let's listen to a trailer, because it looks like the best one.
It was the best book, and it should be the best movie.
Nice.
I'd like to make an announcement. Hogwarts Castle, we're not going to be your home this year. But home to some very special guests as well. Whoa. Please welcome our friends from the north. The proud sons of Durmstrang. And now the lovely ladies of Beauxbatons.
I was just wondering if maybe you wanted to go to the ball with me.
Mr. Weasley, place your right hand on my waist.
Where?
Hermione Granger with Victor Crumb.
You're fraternizing with the enemy.
The enemy?
Hogwarts has been chosen to host a legendary
man,
event.
Even the trailer tests the so
tournament. And now, the champion selection. Victor Crumb. Fleur Delacour. Cedric Diggory. Harry Potter!
How did you do it? I didn't put my name in that cup. I don't want eternal glory. It's Mad-Eye Moody.
Avada Kedavra. The killing curse. Only one person is known to have survived it, and he's sitting in this room.
People die in this tournament. The devils are inside the walls. Something's coming closer. I can feel it. The Dark Lord shall rise again. Is it Voldemort?
Whoa! Everything blew up.
Did Harry Potter?
Yes.
I am very excited about this. And you know what? I haven't seen a single of the movies. In the theater. It's all been on DVD.
Gorgiles!
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Harry Potter and the Gorgile of Fire.
Gorgile.
Now, Mad-Eye Moody, a character, is in this new one. And
yes, he's the Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher.
Let's hear a clip with Mad-Eye Moody.
And your new Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher.
I am here because Dumbledore asked me. End of story. Goodbye, the end. Any questions? But first, which of you can tell me how many unforgivable curses there are?
Three, sir.
And they are so named?
Because they are unforgivable. The use of any one of them will
earn you a one-way ticket to Azkaban. Correct. Now, the minister says you're too young to see what these curses do. I say different. You need to know what they're up against. You need to be prepared. You need to find another place to put your chewing gum besides the underside of your desk, Mr. Finnegan.
Oh, no way. The old codger can see at the back of his head.
I'm here across classrooms. So, which curse shall we see first?
Now, the actor who plays Mad-Eye Moody is who? He's very familiar. I'm going to have to look that up on IMDb later. Do you know Bill?
I don't know his name, but he is familiar. He's a familiar English actor.
Ah, damn.
Or maybe he's Irish.
All right.
Who never knows? You know, yeah. The same place over there.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Hey.
Oh, please. Scotland, England, Ireland off to the left. Who, you know.
What did you say? Falkland?
You Falkland, son of a bitch.
The Falkland Islands.
In Austria, like Arnold. Now, guys, speaking of... back to Harry Potter. I'm very excited about this.
You know, the Britain needs really the Falkland Islands for strategic sheep purposes.
Ah. Huh?
Eddie Izzard line, sorry.
Now, Vanessa, you haven't liked any of the Harry Potter movies, is that right? Or you just don't get into them?
I just can't get into them. Who was the guy you were asking about? The Mad-Eye Moody guy?
Mm-hmm.
That's Brendan Gleeson.
Brendan Gleeson, yes. He's a great actor, and he looks like he's going to own the role. And I'm really excited about this. I haven't read a single of the books, and almost I'm afraid to read the books now, at least the future ones, because I don't want to know what happened.
I would just completely leave the Order of the Phoenix out, because that's one of her worst books. It's way over long. It just drags and drags.
Do you think the movie can improve on that?
Yeah, I think the movie can actually improve on it, because she just she describes too much. She's too long-winded, and it just drags on and on and on and on. But even the book isn't that exciting. The best part is the big fight at the end.
It's almost like after Goblet of Fire, it was hard to follow up such a great book.
Yeah, but Half-Blood Prince is pretty good, too.
Speaking of musicals like Moulin Rouge, there's another musical coming out soon, and I can't wait to see it. Let's check it
out. Don't say Rent. Please
no.
Don't say Rent.
No.
Let's assume for a moment that you are a dishonest man.
Assume away.
Under the right circumstances, a producer could make more money with a flop than he could with a hit.
You bloody little genius! I want everything I've ever seen in the movies!
All we have to do is find the worst play ever written.
What is it? You found the flop?
Touch it. Kiss it. Kiss it. It's the Motherlode.
Springtime for Hitler.
My play?
We want to put it on Broadway.
Broadway! I must tell my birds. He's going to tell his birds. Bertha.
Heinz, Heidi, Wolfgang, Adolf.
Haben Sie gehört, das Deutsche Bahn? Mit der Bank, mit der Boom, mit der Bing, Bang, Bing, Bang, Boom.
Get change!
From the twisted mind of Mel Brooks.
Wie alle Stocken Blum. Wie alle Stocken Blum.
Smart as a whip.
We might have a position for you.
As a matter of fact, we might have several positions for you.
I want you to know, my dear, that even though we're sitting down, we're giving you a standing ovation.
Max.
What?
This is it!
Springtime for Hitler and Germany.
Nathan Lane.
Send me to the moon, you animal!
I love you!
Matthew Broderick.
Max, she's fantastic. I've never felt this way before.
Uma Thurman.
Remember when Ula danced?
Yeah.
Ula, dance again!
God bless Sweden.
And Will Ferrell.
Stand still! How can I shoot you if you keep moving?
Ooh, you've already had your toilet break.
I'm not going into the toilet. I'm going into show business.
The Producers, directed by Susan Stroman.
This is so exciting.
exciting.
Now, are any of you guys going to go see that?
No.
No.
Now, hey, pop quiz. Bill, Nathan Lane, is he gay?
I would have to say affirmative on that.
Yes.
And why would they give the gay guy the most masculine, you know, one-liner?
The guy was gay.
It just doesn't fit.
Now, Steven, how big a fan of you are of the original movie, the producers?
Big fan.
Big fan. So you can't.
Yeah, the original's hilarious. Gene Wilder was great.
And Uma Thurman just looks fantastic in this.
Oh, she looks so hot in that trailer.
Yeah, she does.
Mel Brooks' wife played that role in
Anne Bancroft.
I'm a historian of ass.
Yeah, originally. It looks entertaining. I'm going to check it out.
You're going to go to the theater to see it?
Yes, I will.
There's no way I'm going to the theater to see that. It'd be like walking into the Blue Hair Patrol.
I predict that you will see it in the theater. Psychics! No, I'm not a psychic. I'm just kind of predicting something. God! Okay, before we get into what's on your TiVo, while Steven was in L.A., he actually interviewed another celebrity. First, he interviewed Katie Holmes, which is a fantastic interview, even though she didn't know your name.
But you know what? It really was informative because she is bettering herself.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? Steven now has interviewed Jessica Simpson. But the thing is, you know, you sent me this clip and you were excited about it, but you said something kind of went wrong. What happened?
You just play it and see. You'll see.
I don't
want to give too much away.
Let's listen to this interview of Jessica Simpson.
You went into therapy. What was behind that decision? Because a lot of people do.
Well, I mean, I don't want to. Everybody's asking that question.
I would say it. Yeah, thanks.
There's an unnaturalness to all of this because everybody in the entertainment business is, you know, talking about your life in one way, and for me to have to be in that situation. Well, we're both. Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's about the line that's all they talk about.
No, what happened there, Steven? It sounds like they were totally shooting your wheels off.
They just didn't want to answer my questions about the therapy. I was trying to tell her I was in therapy before. And it was like, no, too much.
So
no,
they were getting upset
stop.
Over you talking about her being in therapy.
Yeah.
What were you supposed to talk
to? Cruise to find out.
Were you supposed to
don't
talk to her?
Upset the publicists.
What the hell were you supposed to talk to her about?
You know, the three-month-old movie that's about to come out on DVD, you know, the stupid... 3 months old or better, or whatever.
Well, you know, you tried. You tried to ask the tough questions, and you got shot down. But
obviously, you know what? She wasn't a Scientologist.
Yeah. So if she's a Scientologist, you would have been able to ask any question you wanted.
Any question.
Or would have gone to therapy.
Yeah.
Because I got my Scientology card in the mail, finally.
Nice. Your membership card.
My membership card.
Now, let's give Steven all a round of applause for asking the tough questions. Good job, Steven. You know,
I'd like to offer each and every one of you
know,
the
I
opportunity
think,
to join the Scientologists with me.
Steven's going to get a call from Access Hollywood any day.
I think so. He's almost sounds exactly like the guy that's on Access Hollywood.
Yeah, it's uncanny.
It is uncanny. Hey, guys, what's on your TiVo? Now, right before the show started, Steve and I watched an all-new Apprentice that we TiVo'd because I wanted to I wanted Steven to check it out and him know what's going on The Apprentice 2. Now, this is the Star Wars episode.
and man, was it bad.
You know, and basically we predicted right that it would indeed be about the DVD. Psychics! I'm not psychic, all right? I'm just saying it's easy to predict that. God.
Well, and the game.
Yeah. Yeah, they were marketing the DVD in the game with their little cardboard cutouts or whatever. And you had two teams. You had the gay guy, which is irrelevant. I don't know why I'm saying he's even gay.
Sound like Bill now.
What does that have to do with anything, right, Bill? I mean,
exactly.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But he is kind of a jerk.
And why are you asking me?
Oh, no.
That's okay.
I don't know.
You're a story of ass?
What?
Yeah, female ass.
Okay.
All right. Well, anyway, what's that guy's name anyway?
Clay.
Clay?
Yeah, Clay, and then Brian headed the other one.
And I'm sorry, when you have a name like Clay, Gator goes up automatically.
It makes me think of Scientology. Clay Pillar.
It makes me think of Clay Aiken.
Yeah, Clay Aiken, yeah.
Struggling.
Now, what happened was Brian admitted right off the bat, hey, I've never even seen Star Wars. Right then, I was like, okay, boo.
And that's the guy that's like 5 foot nothing. Everyone's taller than him, right?
Yeah. Oh, the dude is like super short, man. He's a Jawa, basically. But what's funny is...
He wouldn't know that, though.
What was the girl that's on his team, Marshawn? Remember when they're marketing, they want to do the pictures of the characters? She's like, what about this guy? Let's market this character. Because everyone knows the other characters. And it was like this obscure alien who's in one scene in the movie. I thought that was hilarious.
Well, I also thought it was funny that the one display they built, they had the Emperor on the same side, or they had Palpatine on the same side as the clone troopers.
Oh, I see.
And they, you're not supposed to know that, they just didn't know anything. They just assumed, none of them saw it, none of them cared, they just, I don't know.
Yeah, they obviously...
It's just, whenever you screw around with something that so many people love, it kind of pisses them off.
Right, and the funny thing is that, what would be the... You know, Trump was right when he said that this is like a dream job to market
Absolutely.
For Star Wars. It sells itself.
Yeah.
It's just like impossible to F it up, but they did. Brian F'd it up. And Vanessa, do you have anything to add to this episode?
Well, I thought it was funny how the whole movie centered around pretty much Darth Vader. That's why everybody wanted to see it, and they didn't even include it, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, the birth of Darth Vader in the one group doesn't even put him up on the display.
I was just like... And the best part was the guy, like, you know, they're like, come on, we got to go. And he's like, hey, I live in New York. It takes 15 minutes to get to
that
meeting.
Yeah, exactly.
And it takes them, what, like an hour? And when they get there, the guy's like, hey, we got to go, man. We got other
things
to mess
with. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, but let's check out who got fired.
I hate the fact, and you can say what you want, but you shunned your responsibility to present. And I hate the fact that you did it. Brian. You were a terrible leader. You were late, and you were late for the wrong reasons. You live in Manhattan, and you didn't really meet the executives, and you didn't know what they wanted. Brian, you're fired. You also, Marsha, you're fired.
Double fire, double dose.
Now, that wasn't the most shocking thing about the episode. When the episodes end, sometimes they go outside and they ride in a cab or whatever and they interview him. And something shocking. Can you believe this happened, Bill? What happened to Brian after the end of the show?
I don't know. I told you that if you don't care about something that so many people love, like Star Wars.
People are very passionate about Star Wars.
Yeah, you're going to, you know, get your comeuppance.
Vanessa, did you hear about this tragic thing that happened to Brian after the show?
No, I sure didn't.
Okay, here's a clip of what happened. This is shocking.
Brian, America wants to know the truth. Have you ever seen a Star Wars movie?
I'm going to be very honest. I have never seen a Star Wars movie. I've seen maybe bits and pieces, a couple of clips now and then, but I'm not a big fan of science fiction, and I never really had the urge to really rent the movie or go to the movie theater to see it.
Have you seen Star Wars 3 yet?
I have not seen Star Wars 3. I saw the trailer when we were developing it for the task, but no Star Wars. No Star Wars for Brian.
Suck on this.
Oh my God. Jesus, somebody shot the dude.
Suck on this?
Wow. Man.
I think you got the wrong guy. That's Clay, not Brian.
No, that was Brian.
How could somebody
suck on this?
Oh, I get it. Sorry.
Oh, God.
Oh my God.
Took a little time to pull that one out of your head.
Good job, Bill.
Struggling.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, hey, now that I've watched the last couple of episodes of The Apprentice, I'm gonna watch it the rest of the season. I'm hooked enough to keep watching it.
It is addictive.
Well, now there's
it's not a bad show.
Left.
You just want to see how bad the people screw up every episode.
I'm glad Marshawn's not gone, though, because she just kind of like, oh, I'm not presenting. At
yeah, all of a sudden they're sitting there in Best Buy and waiting for the people to arrive.
It's almost like...
And she just goes, you know, I don't feel like presenting. Maybe you should do it.
It's like when you're on a team, you're like, this is going bad. I'm going to try to just take a back seat. So I don't get called out. But they noticed that. When are they going to figure out that, hey, you didn't do anything on this this mission? What do they call them? The tasks?
If I was Trump, I would be leery of anyone that signed up for that show.
Yeah.
Now,
a new TV two-part movie has come out called Category 7. I mean, it looks pretty awesome. Have you guys heard about this?
It's a commercial.
Category 7. It's a storm hitting. It started last Sunday. The best part is coming up this Sunday. I've got a preview of it, and Bill and I were checking this out. How blown away were you by this, Bill?
Oh, it was incredible. I mean, just look at all the actors in it. Shannon Doherty, Gina Gershon, yes. Tom Skerritt, Randy Quaid.
Randy Quaid, the great Randy Quaid.
Oh, and he's terrific in it.
Yeah.
That's a cavalcade of
stars. And Woody Harrelson's in it, too.
And you know what? The effects look like this is a Bruckheimer film. I mean, it looks like...
Oh, yeah, they went all out.
Okay, let's check it out.
The most vicious storm is going to collide with a Category 5 hurricane. It's going to happen right over the top of D.C.
If this hits D.C., we're going to need to find a new capital.
This is a global crisis.
Train, derailed. Whole areas in danger, being contaminated. Clouded.
We're going to die if we stay here.
This is Category 7.
Utah is shit.
Wow.
I can smell it. Come on, let's go.
Hey, everybody, there's a shit cloud coming. Run for your lives.
Oh, man, that sounds horrible. A shit cloud's coming.
Man, that's... Category 7 shit cloud.
Run for your lives.
Yes.
That is some serious shit.
You guys need to check that out. That's all.
And
I'm
to think it's on CBS, I mean, they are really pushing the boundaries.
They're going to have a shit cloud on CBS.
Yeah. Now, moving on, we had a new Earl. My name is Earl. And it was pretty funny. It had a very good Smokey and the Bandit motif.
Yeah, that was good.
Basically, it was about that Earl and Randy found this guy at a golf club who, whenever he got a hole in one, he would buy everyone a round of beers. So they started, like, waiting by the hole. When the guy would hit, they would pick up the ball and drop it in the hole, and he thought he was like an incredible golfer, and he kept buying them beer, and then he started buying them lunch. But the problem was Randy kept telling too many people, so all these strangers would be in the clubhouse, and he'd go, I'm buying everybody lunch, and all of a sudden there'd be this big crowd of people. Once they stopped letting people who weren't members in there, they quit, and the guy thought he was like the new Tiger Woods or something, and totally ruined his life. And Randy and Earl go to make his life better. He's living in a car now. And
but he has a TV in his car.
Yeah, which Randy is like, he's not doing that bad. He's got a TV in his car. That's pretty cool. And Randy wants to so bad go to the local fair. And I love how he describes it. It's like Disneyland for poor people or something like that. But I love you keep seeing commercials with the bear. He goes, it's bear-tastic. And finally at the end, his bear... isms make no sense. He goes, it's bear awesome. But the reason he wants to go is because the bandit's car is there. And at the very end, you
Carney
see...
Carney folk. Best yeah. folk in the world.
You see that Earl has rented the bandit's car for the day. And when you listen to any of Kevin Smith's commentaries, you know that Jason Lee is like a huge Burt Reynolds fan. He loves the bandit. And I guarantee you he
Who
threw
doesn't
that
love
idea.
The bandit?
But I
see,
guarantee
I like
you,
the snowman.
Yeah, that's great. The part where he goes, I want to be the bandit, Earl. And he goes, well, when you grow a mustache, you get to be the bandit. And at the very end, he's like, you want to drive? And he puts a little fake mustache on his mouth.
So do a little trivia here for Bill. What's the snowman's name?
Jerry Reed.
No, his character name.
Oh, I can't remember.
I don't know either.
Cletus Snow.
All I know is Eastbound and Down, man. I don't care about anything else.
I haven't heard word yet, if you guys have, but I really hope Earl makes it to a season 2. Has anyone heard anything? Like, NBC's like, hey.
NBC always drags their feet on that sort of thing, so I'm sure it will.
Yeah, much like
it's the best show they have on right now.
And you know what? The Office, I've been watching that right after Earl, and that's not a bad show at all. It's a funny show, and
it's nowhere near the dry level of humor of the original, but it's still good. Steve Carell still does a really good job with it.
Will you go this far? And I will. The Office blows away Joey, for Christ's sake.
Oh, hell yes.
And,
please.
And Will and Grace.
Oh, I was sick of Will and Grace after the first episode. And you know what? I won't retract my statement on this. I hate Will and Grace. I think it's one of the worst shows on TV. It drives
Uh-oh.
Me crazy.
Until voicemail. Someone... We're getting a voicemail next.
And this is not going to be retracted. I hate it. I hate that show with the level of hatred that cannot be measured.
Gargoyles!
Psych!
You know what was really cool this week?
I think that Will and Grace is dark-sided.
Yes, it is. And you know what? The thing that bothers me about Will and Grace...
Psychics! Like
thanks.
Yeah, there was a bit of a delay on that one.
Struggling.
Hey, struggling. How sweet was Alias this week?
It was good. It was... Rachel Nichols looked friggin' fantastic.
She went on her first solo mission as a prostitute. Basically, there's this high weapons manufacturer guy who's on a offshore oil rig, and once a week he gets a
offshore tail.
Yes. So she has to go solo. Obviously Sydney can't because she's pregnant, and that wouldn't really work out too well
unless he's into that.
Yeah, she never did ask. But here's what happened on this week's Alias.
Send her in alone.
Rachel's incredibly bright. You've seen it yourself.
You saw what happened on our last mission. She ran.
You may not want to hear it, but this isn't an assignment you can do. You know it as well as I do.
What am I going to say to him? Well, it isn't what you'd say. Remember, you're playing a character. It's what she would say. Who was the sluttiest girl in your high school?
Mandy Camarillo.
Okay, so you're Mandy Camarillo. Just say what she'd say. You're not going to be alone, Rachel. Not for a second. I'll be on comms the whole time.
And she's in her skimpy little outfit.
Hooker outfit.
Push-up brassiere, as they say. Bill, were you enjoying this scene?
Yes, very much so. In fact, I don't know what happened during it. I was just staring at her breasts.
Of course, English. I love English.
What a country.
I love this country.
It's nice to meet you.
I love the women.
I am Janos.
Smirnoff.
Mandy.
Ray Mandy. A beautiful name.
Ray Mandy.
So, this is where you live, huh? It's pretty sweet. Do you know how to make daiquiris?
I have champagne.
Even better. Uh-oh.
What do you mean, uh-oh?
I dropped my lipstick.
Not a problem. Your lips are absolutely perfect, just the way they are.
Don't let him kiss you. You're the one in charge.
Let me show you. Has baby been bad?
Oh, this is going to be too easy, Rachel.
That was good stuff. Basically,
nothing like a hornball.
Yeah, she ties him to the bed and she gets the information. But that one...
A la Bull Durham.
The one, her arch nemesis, who she thought she was her friend, shows up and they have a cool fight there at the end.
And he gives her a nice ice pick in the arm.
Yeah, that was a cool hairbrush ice pick thing. And I like where Alias is going. I think it's...
This episode, it was good, but it wasn't as good as previous ones. Next week's episode looks awesome. Finally, yeah. The confrontation with Gordon Dean.
Yeah, it looks like Arvin Sloan. You don't know if he's going to be good or bad. And...
He's definitely... That's the great thing about... what's his name? The actor?
I don't know.
Everything I've seen him in, he's been terrific.
He's
a
Arvin
different
Sloan.
Character and everything, and he just plays Arvin Sloan so
and
well.
Finally, for the first time this season, we see Nadia laying there in bed. I was like, is the actress even, did they rehire her for this season?
I wonder if she gets paid for that.
Yeah, here's $5 for laying in a bed. You're comatose. And action. But that was good stuff. And
they didn't just pull a clip from last year.
Yeah. Let's lead that into Smallville. Which was not as good as the stripping episode. No, I'm kidding. Completely different kind of episode. It's a more serious episode.
Right.
I wouldn't even call it serious.
It's just kind of silly. Clark gets pricked by... Silver Kryptonite, and it makes him have paranoid delusions. And I did. I kind of got a kick out of him beating up his mom and dad.
Yeah.
He punched his mom.
She went flying.
And then, you know, he beats up Lex and slides
Lana.
Him. Yeah, he beats up Lana. And then all of a sudden, let's just play a clip of when the professor, whatever the hell that dude's name. Milton Fine shows up and a lot of racket starts.
And if anybody knows who Milton Fine is, they know who he is.
Yes. Whoa, what a racket!
I'm a Kryptonian, just like you.
That's right, he's a Kryptonian, just like him.
My ass, he's a Kryptonian.
And the funny thing is...
He's Brainiac, don't believe him!
Yeah, that's the first thing that... I've read it everywhere, it can't be a spoiler anymore.
Everybody knows. It's not. If you know who Milton Fine is in the comic books, you know it's Brainiac. That was his alter ego.
Yeah, and another thing is you would think that from a couple of episodes ago that he's the T-1000. I think that's really cool.
Plus, they were talking about duplicity through the entire thing.
Right.
And yeah. Brainiac is his largest
enemy. Steven and I were talking about this episode. How many episodes of Smallville does someone come busting in through Lex's door and go, hey, what have you done?
I think they have those double doors there just for the dramatic.
It's like
when people have glasses in movies and rip them off and say, damn it, I can't save her.
We just need to get all together. Just go burst into the rich people's houses. Hey, you!
And Lex is always just chilling there. You know, I don't know what he's doing. He's reading a nice paperback.
Or he's on his little laptop.
In The Crow whenever Brandon Lee goes into the church? And it's that long shot where he opens the door.
Yeah, and the bird flies in.
It just reminds me of that every time.
They need to do that every episode, where, like, Lana busts in and then a crow flies in. It's like, what the hell?
What's her crow doing?
But, I mean,
and then Byling starts singing.
Yeah, uh-huh. But it looks like next week that his mom is going to get jacked or something.
Oh, that scene where Brainiac, or Professor Fine, he comes in and he puts the thing into Clark's neck to take the silver kryptonite sliver out.
Is that a Matrix?
I was like, whoa, Matrix?
Yeah.
What the hell was that?
Does he have some kind of psychic abilities or something?
Psychics!
And why did he put it in his neck when he got the sliver in his finger?
I know. It's like, dude, it's right here in my finger. But
did he get some blood out with him too to sample it so he could?
I know. I love the part where now, Bill, will you say that I did have some kind of psychic ability when I predicted the dad would run for the Senate?
I would have to say, yes, you were very good on that, because when the episode started, I'm sitting there going, son of a bitch. But he ended up wimping out just like I thought he would.
Yeah, it's...
Because it's Pa Kent, and he's just a big wimp. He's all talk.
You know what the problem is he's a Gorgile.
Gorgiles!
And
he's dark-sided.
Yeah, he's dark-sided.
He's not a Christian!
And his house is dark-sided, too.
Right. And, Bill, did you watch Veronica Mars this week? I thought it was pretty good. Now, Veronica's hired by a guy who's just got out of prison that was originally convicted to...
Abel Koontz.
He pleaded guilty to Lily Kane's death in order to receive a large sum of money, which would be paid to his daughter, because he was going to die anyway. He was terminal with cancer or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to Veronica to find his daughter before he dies.
And there was a really weird twist to this episode.
Yeah.
The fact that she teamed up with Clarence Weedman, head of security from Kane Software, who in last season was one of her biggest nemesis.
Yeah, he's a total bad guy.
And then they were like best friends. I was like, what the hell's going on here?
I love when she's sitting at his desk and he walks in and she's sitting there at his desk and he goes, you're the, what is your position again? The head of what? You know, because he's the head of security. And he's just like, hey, you know. But and also a great part when he interrogates a guy by hanging him out the window. And
she's screaming somebody. Like crazy.
Yeah, and Veronica says, where did you learn that? And he goes, Harvard. And that was just funny. Oh, and Joss Whedon was in this episode.
Yeah, that was a little shocking.
And it was funny, after the episode was over, my wife was like, where was Joss Whedon? And I was like, he was the car rental guy.
I didn't know he was going to be in the episode.
Was
and then
he Stephen
I saw
King
him, I was like, hey,
put himself in everything.
And I got to say, his cameo... about a million times better than Kevin Smith. Sorry.
I thought it was funny. No, I liked Kevin Smith. I don't know what you're
talking
about.
See, I thought Kevin Smith was just a little too forced. He's not an actor. And Joss Whedon isn't either, but he played that geeky manager perfectly.
The funny thing is when he has that picture on the wall of himself.
Yeah, the wide-eyed deer look picture.
Yeah, that was pretty good. And I also, I enjoyed the thing with Logan. And what's that, the one Mexican biker's name?
Mexican biker.
Weasel or Weevil?
Weasel. Weevil.
Yeah, Weevil. Weevil Knievel. Basically, him and his posse of PCHers, which someone called Panty PCHers. Panty something homos.
Homos, yeah.
But anyway, they burn Logan's house down.
Yeah. So how did that happen?
I don't know. But Logan buys his grandmother's house and evicts her after that because he's rich. And it's just like, I thought that.
Oh, and Harry Hamlin has a cameo.
Yeah, he shows up. Harry.
Yeah. And Keith Mars loses his sheriff race.
Yeah.
There was a lot that went on in this episode. It's like you said in previous episodes, it's a very fast-moving show. It moves from beat to beat very
they
quickly.
They did a really good job of juggling all the storylines. It flowed
absolutely
really well.
And they always have. Even on the particularly, you know, not so good, I don't want to say bad, episodes, they've always done a good job of that.
Right. And basically it turns out that the girl she's looking for has died.
Yes.
And when she goes to the dad who's dying in the hospital, she lies and says she's on her way.
But and then she's really happy. And
she's really happy. You know, he just wants to know if she's happy, and she tells him that she is.
The guy who plays Abel Koontz is really good. I actually felt bad for the guy. I thought that was terrific.
I mean, here's a guy. He took the rap for killing someone just so his daughter could have a good life.
Yeah.
And it's pretty sad.
It's a really tragic character.
Yeah.
That's wheels off.
But what about the Faders? Aren't they going to be on anymore?
Yes. The Faders are getting their own show.
Is it called No Sleep Tonight?
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun. No Sleep Tonight. Don't get that stuck in my head. Damn Gorgiles.
I know you want
Gorgiles!
The
Gorgiles!
Can't wait for that.
Hey, Vanessa, you know, the one thing I don't want to pass up is Trading Spouses. What happened on this week's Trading Spouses?
The second part of Psycho Lady.
Yes, Marguerite.
Yes.
What happened?
She begged the family to take her to a church, and she was going up to the children saying, you need God in your life. And the kids, the way they looked at her was hilarious. Like, lady, we don't want God in our life.
She was pushing God on them, right?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. And they went to church with her, and he says, well, will you be willing to try something, you know, from what we believe? And she's like, no, I will not. I put up with enough. Because she haven't put up with anything.
Oh, I got it. So she wants to introduce them to her stuff, but when it comes to their stuff, she wants no part of
it.
Right. Exactly. Very close-minded.
What a Christian thing to do.
Yeah. Now, basically, last week when we thought she was saying dark-sided Jew, she was actually saying what, Stephen?
The house is dark-sided too, but screaming it does sound like dark-sided Jew.
Oh, okay. I got you. But did she get this one right?
Slide kicks!
Yes. She's saying slide kicks, actually, whatever that means.
Well, that's in soccer. You know, you slide kick to steal the ball.
Vanessa, did they play soccer and that was against your religion?
Yeah, they play devil soccer.
Oh, I got you.
Gargoyles!
They play with disembodied heads.
Now, did anyone ever say, first of all, lady, it's gargoyles?
No, it's gargoyles.
It's gargoyles.
So what happens? Does she end up getting a bunch of money at the end?
Gargoyle socks.
How did they divvy up the cash at the end, as they say? Well, no one says that, but I'm just saying they do.
You remember she ripped up the envelope saying she didn't want it.
Right.
Well, at the end they had that little, you know, where they put up the print saying that this is how that it was split up for her family, that $20,000 or somewhat was going to go for her stomach stapling that she wanted Marguerite. And then it was like $3,000 or $5,000 for her daughter to get
her a stomach stapling?
And she ended up accepting it. After all that, she ends up going, okay, I'll take it.
Why?
Well, once the cameras were turned off.
Oh, yeah. You're really into your principles there, lady, once you saw the money.
Yeah.
How come God doesn't make her stand?
Now, when you say that,
let's not start bashing God.
Was it just an act, Vanessa? Was she really insane?
I honestly think her family looked at her crazy, so I think she just sometimes thought, I don't think it was. I think she's nuts.
It's possible.
And boom goes
the bomb. I don't know.
Well, her family even said at the very beginning of the first part that If you make her happy, she's fine. But you don't want to upset her. We don't want to feel her wrath.
So basically, so basically they live in terror of their mom.
Exactly.
So she's like off kilter. She needs to be medicated. Hosed
down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, guys, this week we finally have a new Lost. Now, on this week of Lost, it's all about Shannon. And, of course, we know from the previous previews from, like, 12 months ago that someone will be lost forever. And they keep teasing it the whole episode that it'll be Sawyer because he's got his gunshot wound that he probably would have bled to death by now.
Right.
He
died of infection. He's very
tired. No one seems to have sympathy for him. Here is a clip of Lost.
All right, then, genius. Which way would you go?
Hey, I'm with you. Sit tight and wait for Mr. Echo to show up and guide us.
If your friend didn't run off, Echo would still be here now, wouldn't he?
You sure didn't have any problem leaving him behind, though, huh?
Mike only cares about himself and this kid. Neither's got squat to do with me.
Glad you feel that way.
Didn't expect to see you again.
Aww.
Could have said queso. Money touching the
queso?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Something about queso dip?
My arm's about to fall off.
I was waiting for his arm to fall off. I thought
that would have been great television.
Yeah.
Yes.
The cybernetic implant back in the hatch.
I sold it.
Uh-oh. What?
What do you mean you saw?
How many were there?
Did you see the kids?
Libby.
Did they have pogo sticks?
We need to go. Now.
All right. We're moving out.
So basically, you know, when this now is going on, they never... How much is it bothering you guys that they won't just say, hey, okay, let's take a minute to stop and tell us what the others are and what they've done to you? They finally did that on this episode, and it was kind of lame, the explanation, but...
Well, not entirely. It's
basically, they keep telling them to be quiet, and Michael's like, hey, what's going on? Hey, Sawyer, you okay? Like, really loud, and she's like telling them to shut up.
Wow. I'll take you there.
I'm fine.
기대라니까.
Fine.
내가 부축해줄게. 기대라니까, Chewie.
Shut up.
Chewie?
What? They can't talk at all?
If he talks, he's gonna get us all killed.
Wrong. By what? Them? I thought they lived a day back that way.
How about you shut your mouth and get your buddy over here moving?
Shut your mouth and know your place.
What happened to you
just
people?
Just talking about the shaft.
Damn right.
You want us to take you back with us? Fine. But you want me to keep quiet?
You better tell me what the hell's going on.
And you need to tell me why I have to.
Well, you know, my line was better. Now, basically, this show is about Shannon's flashback to... She's a spoiler-rich girl. Her dad dies. Her stepmom won't give her any money.
Correct.
So the whole thing is about her fear of being on her own. People not believing in her. Mm-hmm. And Saeed, he builds a sex shack on the beach at the beginning.
The love shack.
You know, at first I was like, oh, he built her a nice little house. And then you see the candles. Oh, wait, he built her a place so they can have some sex. Yeah.
Smart guy.
It's like, this
kind of creepy, actually.
This Saeed guy, he's like, I'm going to get some action tonight. I'm going to build a sex shack.
Even though I'm on an
I'm
island.
Wang Chung.
I'm starving to death. I need sex.
Where did he get the candles at, by the way? Okay, let's not go there. They're torches. Now, I was...
It's cooking oil.
I don't know about you guys, but basically what happens is... Shannon is shot. And I thought it was done.
And it was really poorly done.
It was overblown. I mean, they way overdid it. They could have just shot her once and been done with it. But they really just like, hey, she's dead. There's no way she's going to live past this.
But the other thing that really made me angry is she was screaming Walt.
Yeah.
And it's like she runs around a bush and then all of a sudden bombarded by this.
Yeah. Didn't Michael hear someone yelling for his kid Walt?
I know. He's screaming the whole time. Doesn't he hear somebody screaming back?
Didn't you think they overdid her death, Vanessa?
That absolutely.
Just,
oh, sorry.
It was just very violent. And Bill, didn't you think they did?
I guess. Since...
Now, here is the clip of how she was killed, and I just think it's ridiculous.
Don't forget the shit trap grenades.
She's got to be dead after that.
Was the missile necessary?
Well, you know, you need the RPGs to really
I didn't realize. I thought they only had one bullet. I didn't realize how well armed they were.
Ram those out there.
It's funny you bring up Rambo, by the way, Vanessa.
Why, thank you.
What, Saeed and Shannon...
He's dead, Jim.
No, what happens is Shannon and Saeed, he says, I believe in you, Shannon. I love you. I will never leave you. Didn't that kind of remind you of Rambo when he tells the chick that he loves her and he's taking her with him and then she stands up and gets blown away?
Yeah, it did.
It kind of reminded me of that.
Oh,
it absolutely did.
Well, they do a lot of references in there.
And
a
now, on the next episode, they're going to do what happened on the other side of the island.
You know, what's funny is I don't really care.
Yeah, you know what? That's what I was looking at that and I was like, I don't care what happened to them. They've told enough. It's
because I don't like any of those characters.
They've gone into George
Lucas.
They've gone into George Lucas territory where they're telling us stuff we don't want to know. I don't really care what happened on the other side of the island. Her explanation that they took them, first they took 3, then they took 9. Okay, that's all I need to know. Let's move on with the characters we know and love from the first season.
Yeah.
And stop showing flashbacks that don't really move the show along.
Mm-hmm.
And but we do have some new Lost theories.
Oh, great.
Stupid Lost theory, Steven. Now, this theory, you guys, it has to do with the whispers. Twice we heard very loud whispers on this episode.
Yeah, and Shannon and Saeed heard
right.
Does that make sense, a loud whisper?
Yes.
All
loud
whispers.
Now, here's what happened.
Isn't that talking?
Someone has deciphered the whispers. They know what they're saying. First of all,
awesome.
Let's just listen to the whispers, guys. And basically that
it sounded like one of them said this movie sucks. Was I there?
At the end there, when you hear shush, that's Walt. But here's what they're saying. Okay. Do you want me to decipher it while playing it?
No. Go ahead and say it.
They're saying, okay, basically it's a warning. Scoot back, Steven. You're not peeking at my sheet. They're saying, those who killed her, she hides the other one. Why? Stop. She won't wake up. Who is it? And they're basically saying something like that. So basically it means nothing.
Yeah, so all right.
So basically they're talking about somebody killed somebody that they're hiding and why don't they stop and please wake up. Now, the wake up part would maybe mean something if the person actually heard something from this whisper, which I don't hear anything. You guys hear anything? Any decipherable words? Maybe some bat masking or something going on?
I hear a gargoyle.
Is that Marguerite talking? I heard the
gargoyles!
That shush, it kind of reminds me, it's kind of EVP-ish, isn't it?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think it's EVP.
Hey, wait, we've never done our EVP show.
That's right.
And we'll just leave it at that. Let's do the movie drops. Let's play the movie drops game. The game where I play sound clips and you try to guess what the movie is. You guys ready to play? Why, yes, we are.
No, I'm not ready.
Oh, we'll just take a minute for Bill for you to get ready. Now,
yeah,
this,
just give me one second.
This week...
Okay, I'm ready.
We have a completely different kind of movie drops. This is Harry Potter movie drops, MF.
I'm screwed.
Now listen, there's 3 different movies so far there's The Sorcerer's Stone,
The Philosopher's Stone.
Yeah, the Chamber of Secrets and the Prisoner of Azkaban. What I will do is I'll play a clip, and Bill, Steven, and Vanessa, you will each tell me which movie you think it is, and I will tell you, and I will add it up, and we'll see who's the winner. If we have a tie, we have a movie drop bonus round. All right? Are you guys ready? Now remember, Chamber of Secrets, Sorcerer Stone, Prisoner of Azkaban.
Philosopher's Stone.
Or Philosopher's Stone. What is that all about, by the way? Was it named two different things?
In the UK and in Canada, it's called the Philosopher's Stone. And for some reason, some idiot at Scholastic went, well, I think philosopher is going to confuse children. Let's call it sorcerer.
Okay. I'm sorry I asked. What? So basically, it's just some dude made that decision?
I guess.
All right, guys.
Stupid decision, but
here's clue number one.
Fear of a name only increases fear of the thing itself.
All right. Now, this could either be from the Chamber of Secrets.
Chamber of Secrets is my guess.
The Chamber of Secrets, the Sorcerer's Stone, or the Prisoner of Azkaban. Okay, Steven, which do you think it is?
Chamber of Secrets.
All right.
Could you play the clip again?
Yes, sir.
Fear of a name only increases fear of the thing itself.
Vanessa, which movie do you think it is?
I'm going to go with the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Azkaban. All right,
Azkaban.
Bill?
Azkaban.
Yeah, I would have to say it's Sorcerer's Stone.
All right. Now,
Philosopher's Stone.
Yeah. Here is sound clip number two.
First thing you want to know about hippogriffs is that they're very proud creatures, very easily offended. You do not want to insult a hippogriff. It may
That's
just
Prisoner
be the last
of Azkaban.
Thing you ever do.
Oh, I got it right! Yay!
All
right,
Bill, what are you talking about, Vanessa?
I said Prisoner of Azkaban.
This is the second clip. It's not necessarily the same movie.
Oh, I thought we were doing.
I don't think
one.
Vanessa.
Damn it!
I don't think Vanessa understands. Now, Vanessa, you're.
She's way too happy about this entire game.
I know.
Yay!
She takes it way too seriously. Like last weekend, she was like visibly and audibly upset.
Before she did.
Damn,
Steven, which movie, which Harry Potter movie was this clip from?
I guess I'll go with Bill with Prisoner of Azkaban.
With Azkaban, Vanessa?
I think we're all confused about this game right now.
The stone thing.
The Sorcerer's Stone? All right. Okay.
Philosopher's Stone.
Philosopher's Stone.
Here is clip number three. Remember, it could be one of the three movies. You guess which one it is.
You're a little scary sometimes. You know that. Brilliant. Scary.
All right.
Chamber of Secrets.
All right.
No,
Vanessa.
That's,
oh, no. You each get stuff. A guess. You each get a guess.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right. Vanessa says Chamber of Secrets. Bill, which one do you say it is?
One we haven't said yet.
Sorcerer's Stone.
Sorcerer's
All
Stone.
Right. Steven, which one do you think
Sorcerer's
it is?
Sorcerer's Stone.
Sorcerer's Stone. All right. And here is clip number four.
Expecto Patronum!
All right. Steven, which movie was that? Prisoner of Azkaban? Chamber of Secrets, or Sorcerer or Philosopher's Stone? You have 3 seconds.
The Philosopher's Stone.
All right. Bill?
No, Expecto Patronum is Prisoner of Azkaban.
All right. Vanessa, which do you think it is?
I think that Prisoner of Azkaban thing.
All right. And here is number five.
Now, if you two don't mind, I'm going to bed before either of you come up with another clever idea to get us killed. Or worse, expelled.
All right, Vanessa, which Harry Potter movie is that?
I think it's the Chamber of Secrets. That's how she sounds.
All right. Bill, which movie is that?
See, that's a hard one. I think it's Chamber of Secrets, though.
I'm going to go with that. Chamber of Secrets.
Okay. And let's go on to number six. Don't worry, we're almost done.
Thank God.
Why is it always me?
Why is it always me? All right. Bill, which movie is that?
I have no idea. I think I'm going to guess Chamber of Secrets.
All right. And Vanessa, which one is it?
I'm going to go with that Philosopher/Sorcerer's Stone thing.
All right. And Steven?
That's the one I'm going with. Philosopher's Stone, Sorcerer's Stone.
All right. Here's our next clue.
It takes a great deal of bravery to stand up to your enemies, but a great deal more to stand up to your friends.
All right, Bill, which movie is that? Do I keep going to Bill first?
That is...
You're switching it up. 3, 2...
Shut up. I would have to say that's the Chamber of Secrets.
All right. Steven, which one do you think it is?
Sorcerer's Stone.
And Vanessa?
I'm going to go with The Prisoner of Azkaban.
No, because it's Richard Harris. It's
I don't know.
Okay, here's clue number 8, and there's one more after this.
And it's referring to Neville Longbottom.
Are you capable of restraining yourself, or do you take pride in being an insufferable know-it-all?
All right. Steven, which one is that?
Sorcerer's Stone.
All right. Bill, which one is that?
Prisoner of Azkaban.
All right. Vanessa.
Well, I know that's Alan...
Rickman.
I just went blank. Yeah, I'm going to go with The Prisoner of Azkaban.
Okay, little does Vanessa know he's in every movie, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the only one I saw the commercial.
And here's the last one. Here we go.
Diagon Alley.
Steven, which one is that?
Play that again. Do it again, please.
Diagon Alley.
Bubblegum Alley?
Of Azkaban.
Diagon Alley.
Oh.
All right.
And yeah, I think Steven's right. Prisoner of Azkaban.
All right. Vanessa?
I'm just going to go different and say that Philosopher's Stone thing.
Okay. Well, here we go. Let me tally up the numbers, guys. Vanessa got 2 out of 9.
All right. Yeah.
Steven got 4 out of 9.
Yay.
And Bill got 5 out of 9. Bill is the winner. Okay, I will never do this game again. Disaster! Alright, guys, the answer to clue number 1...
Fear of a name only increases fear of the thing itself.
...was The Chamber of Secrets. Movie drop number 2...
First thing you want to know about hippogriffs is that they're very proud creatures. Very easily offended. You do not want to insult a hippogriff. It may just be the last thing you ever do.
Of course, a hippogriff was in The Prisoner of Azkaban. Movie drop number 3.
You're a little scary sometimes. You know that. Brilliant, but scary.
Was, of course, the Sorcerer's Stone, or the Philosopher's Stone, depending on where your geographic location is. The answer to movie drop number 4.
Expecto Patronum!
Of course, Bill had that exactly right. That was The Prisoner of Azkaban. Movie drop number 5.
Now, if you two don't mind, I'm going to bed before either of you come up with another clever idea to get us killed. Or worse, expelled.
The Sorcerer's Stone. You can tell Hermione is very young there. All right, movie drop number 6.
Why is it always me?
Is, of course, The Chamber of Secrets. I say, of course, because that was probably the hardest one. All right, movie drop number 7.
It takes a great deal of bravery to stand up to your enemies, but a great deal more to stand up to your friends.
Which is, of course, The Sorcerer or Philosopher's Stone. Movie drop number 8.
Are you incapable of restraining yourself, or do you take pride in being an insufferable know-it-all?
That's Alan Rickman. That must be The Prisoner of Azkaban. And you know what? It is The Prisoner of Azkaban. All right, and the last one, number 9.
Diagon Alley!
Which was The Chamber of Secrets. I hope you got them all right, everyone. All right, guys, let's do some news. All right, Vanessa, what news do you got for us?
Women who lose their sexual desire as they age may not be the victims of hormonal changes, but may be reacting to their own body image. The more a woman perceives herself as less attractive, the more likely she was to report a decline in horniness,
huh?
Or I added that in, sexual desire or activity over the past 10 years. Our results suggest that treatment via medication or menopausal effects for this purpose seems unwarranted in light of the findings that menopausal status did not have a significant impact on sexual responding of the woman in the study.
Why in the hell are we talking about menopause?
We're not! We're talking about women's sexual
I'm sorry, Vanessa, but I gotta say, bad choice on this. I mean, for Christ's sake, none of us are near 50.
Well, see you later.
You're, I guess you, Bill, is talking about it's not about menopause. That women.
I don't care if it isn't about menopause. It's still menopause. I don't want to care about menopause.
It's excess talking about women who lose their sexual desire. It has nothing to do with menopause.
No, they're prudes. Let's move on.
No, it has to do with their body image, and that's true.
Oh, body image, body.
Oh, okay. Wait. This is what the story is saying: is women, they don't lose interest in sex over menopause.
Guys lose.
They lose it over their own self body image. They don't think they're attractive.
Right.
But that's only because guys lose interest in them because they're ugly.
It's not just women at menopause. It was talking about menopause.
Billy.
Oh, okay. I got
you know what? I think we've used the word menopause one too many times.
Why are men so...
Jesus Christ! God, Foggy!
But they said that women who especially dislike their stomachs or abdomens, hips, thighs, and legs seem to have the highest problem with.
But you know what's sad is so many women, they are like, I'm fat or I'm unattractive, and they're not. Just, you're fine. You know what?
Well,
guys don't care.
Yeah, you do.
No, we don't.
Oh, really? So you would have sex with that Marguerite lady?
Yes, in a heartbeat.
Yeah, right.
I like some cushion for the pushing.
Unfortunately, I'm married, so I can't.
Big smile.
She
Big
honors
smile.
That bond through Big God. You know. All right, Vanessa, next story. Rapidly, please. Bail us out.
Procter & Gamble Company is looking into a report that an Iowa woman found a dead turtle in a package of its Folgers coffee.
Wait, a turtle in Folgers?
Yes.
That's one coffee-addicted turtle.
Danger, Will Robinson, danger.
How the hell did a turtle?
Folgers, that's serious.
Yeah, Marjorie Morris said she found the turtle in a vacuum-packed brick package of Folgers coffee, and she transferred the coffee to a plastic container for storage in the refrigerator, and no longer has the original packaging.
Wow.
They're sending the animal to Procter & Gamble for investigation. And, of course, they're saying, oh, this is an isolated incident, you know. We haven't had any incident like this before. And this comes out months after, you know, Wendy's had that lawsuit with Wilman claiming she found a human finger in her chili.
Right,
which of course,
yeah.
Which, of course, her and her husband were later arrested because they put the finger in there themselves.
I regularly put my finger in my chili.
But you know what? I'm sorry, but if I found a dead turtle in anything, I don't think I would ever, ever buy that product again.
I found a fried cockroach in a bag of potato chips.
That's nasty.
Yeah, it was pretty gross, and I called the store.
And, you called the store?
Well, no, because not only that, in a box of, you know...
Why did
like
you
the,
go eat a decrepit piece of crap?
The pancake mix, I had a bunch of with those boll weevil things, because I poured it and just, like ants, you know, kind of looking like they're coming out, and they were everywhere.
Did
Jesus Christ!
It was gross.
Where the hell do you shop?
That was in Nebraska when I was stationed there.
Now, guys, I forgot to play this. Here's a clip of Marguerite going to sleep. I guess she's snoring.
I thought that was... Sounds like Steven breathing.
Good old Steven. Poor Steven.
Get escaped from the predators last week, and I'm back.
Yay!
All right,
that's
Vanessa.
Great thing.
Well, did the lady like win some money in a lawsuit after the dead turtle incident?
She says she's not going to sue.
Why not?
Probably because she has no case because she put it in there. I mean, criminy, how does a turtle get into Folgers? That's not like the sort of thing. All that stuff is automated. It's not like there's a turtle in the coffee machine.
Yeah, I'm going to say this: that turtle wandered into the wrong Folgers factory.
Yeah. Okay.
Next story, please, Vanessa.
A poll conducted by TakeGreatPictures.com says that more people would like to have their picture taken with Brad Pitt, that is, than any other male movie star, and more would love to pose with Angelina Jolie.
Billy.
I don't know
than any of...
I'd love to do more than pose with Angelina Jolie.
Yeah. Pitt's 36.1% of online vote beat out Johnny Depp by just 60 votes, and Jolie's closest competition was Halle Berry, only 40 votes. Halle Berry's gorgeous.
You know,
but she's got the personality of,
first of all,
mud.
Halle Berry in a heartbeat would run your ass over.
Yeah, and then she'd leave you for dead.
Yeah. And Catwoman sucked enough for me to never want her autograph.
But also receiving a high number of votes was George Clooney, Tom Cruise, Ben Affleck, Charlize
Theron. Now who the hell is voting on this crap?
And Jennifer
Lopez.
Teenagers. And then they asked what historical figure you would like to say, dead or alive, and more people picked Albert Einstein than John F. Kennedy and Cleopatra over Mother Teresa.
They want to hang out with Albert Einstein?
What? I would.
Now, why?
The real
pick
question,
his brain.
No, the real question is, would Albert Einstein want to hang out with you?
Exactly. No.
Thanks.
No, what I mean is not you specifically. I mean anyone.
Who's what I'm saying is no. The man was an intellectual. He would sit around and write shit down and talk in his jibber-jabber language.
He'd be like, hey, Einstein, did you catch this week's Smallville?
Yeah, that would be the most boring conversation in the world.
All right,
here
so
he is trying
pick?
To come up with the theory of relativity, and you're Jason. Sitting here talking about Smallville.
All right, so who would you pick? If a historical figure that you could...
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Historical figure. If you could sit down with any historical figure, dead or alive, and talk to them and just have a conversation...
My friend Flicka.
This is going to come across really odd, especially for my comments in all shows, basically. if there was a historical figure I would want to sit down with and I could, I would have to pick Jesus.
Really?
At 100%.
See, I would probably pick FDR.
Struggling.
With Delano Roosevelt?
Yep.
Well,
I think
that might be interesting,
president.
But I would have to pick Jesus.
I'd have to pick Marguerite.
Psychics!
All right, Steven, how about you?
Yeah, and you know what? If Marguerite picked Jesus, Jesus would say, no thanks.
Yeah.
But Steven, how about you? Who would you pick?
Historical figure.
Attila the Hun.
You dick!
Would be
Spicoli.
Yeah, Spicoli, all right.
Spicoli.
No, probably, I don't know. No. Mine's not really all that important a person, I guess. It'd be possibly John Lennon or Salvador Dali.
You know who I would pick? Seriously? I would pick,
Salvador Dali would be trippy.
I would
I know.
Pick Sir David Lean, the director of
Yeah, that
Lawrence
would be
of
cool.
Arabia. Or Richard Harris. He was a fantastic actor, and he always told fantastic drunken stories. And
yeah, he was good. I would love to sit down with that whole group, like Richard Harris, Peter O'Toole, all those, and just sit and drink with those guys. That
Orson
would be hilarious.
Welles.
Oh, my God. Orson Welles in his older age when he was a boozer.
Oh,
he's hilarious.
But back in the day when he was doing, War of the Worlds and stuff, I mean, the guy.
Oh, could you imagine the creative energy pouring from that guy?
Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah. And the poor guy, nobody believed in him, so he had to use his own money to make Citizen Kane.
Yeah. I mean,
they wanted to shut down Citizen Kane before it even hit theaters.
Yeah. Did you see the special they had that RKO?
RKO 281.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, next story.
Next story.
All right, a runaway ostrich that eluded police caused severe damage when it attacked a Mercedes car during a 3-hour rampage.
Nice.
Somehow it got out of its pen. We sent two patrols after it, but in the meantime, it caused some damage to the bonnet and bumper of a Mercedes before we caught it, a police official in Cyprus said. The ostrich caused considerable damage when it pounced on the car. The ostrich is the largest of birds and can weigh at least 400 pounds. It is also the fastest creature on two legs and can run up to 43 miles per hour.
Is this in Cyprus, the country, or like Cyprus, a city in the U.S.?
It just says Cyprus, so I'm assuming the country.
Okay.
That's a huge bitch!
But it took them three hours to catch it.
Those things are crazy. I went to an ostrich farm once that they used the ostriches for meat, and those things just run around like nuts.
You know what's weird? I heard that Britney Spears has an ostrich farm.
Well, look who it is. Hi, bitch.
Yeah, and Kevin Federline runs it.
Yeah, they're on the skids. They're right now.
Yeah, they used to call him K-Fed, hey, yo, but now you can call him Daddy instead.
Yeah, I guess he's partying too much. But, duh. What did she expect?
I heard he bumps into a lot of stuff because that fedora he wears covers his eyes. So he's got bruised shins.
Plus, he's got that, that constantly unshaven look.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, what's with that?
He needs, well, it's like a dog and a cat needs whiskers. He needs unshaven look so he, doesn't bump into things.
So he can keep his balance.
Yeah. Yeah, it's balance.
Hey,
because he's always drunk.
I'm going to start doing that. That sounds, works for me.
Get a cat-like agility.
Yeah.
Hey, bud, let's party.
What else you got, Vanessa?
And in Toronto, a Canadian bank robber who politely...
A
Canadian bank robber who politely presents a hold-up note on a recipe card has hit 29 banks in 4 months. The unidentified man is the main suspect behind 2 bank heists in Toronto on Wednesday and 27 other robberies in the region since August. The suspect breaks his turn in line...
What a colossal ripoff!
And once at the teller, quietly makes his intentions known on a recipe card. He never shows a gun. The clean-shaven robber, usually who looks around 30 years old, wears a baseball cap and sometimes sunglasses.
Recipe card, does he share a recipe with them?
Yeah.
Because they should get something in return.
Yeah.
Well, here, if you give me the money, I'll show you how to make some great creme brulee.
Here's a wonderful pumpkin roll recipe.
At least invite him over for dinner.
It's my cookie, chocolate chip cookie. It's secret. It's from Grandma.
Now give me your money, bitch.
Because I need money to buy more ingredients for my cookies.
I need more money to buy more recipe cards.
And what was it, a pack of diapers?
And a pack of diapers, yeah.
You know what? Let's say you're some kind of bank robber, store robber. When you're busted, would you even tell them, why did you steal this? Does that help your case if you pick the right thing you're stealing for?
Would they actually ask you why you're stealing it?
Wouldn't you just keep your mouth shut? You're busted enough.
Yeah. Why talk?
Well, they shouldn't have, a certain M.O. because then they can link them to so many crimes.
No cop would catch me. I'd punch my way out of there.
I think criminals need to listen to our show because we give good advice.
Yes, we do.
Steven is my name.
Steven, you're a criminal? I think that's what Foggy's saying.
That would
there.
Be my name.
Basically, Steven couldn't sneak up on you because if you heard that, you turn around, Steven, what are you doing?
Oh, I'd totally freak out.
I'd roll in mud and wait for him.
Now, Bill, if you got up late at night, you're walking to the kitchen and you were going to get yourself a nice glass of milk and you heard this, what would you do?
I would drop to the floor.
Stop, drop, and roll.
Because there's probably a triple laser sight on the back of my head. and in any moment, a flying blade will probably come lop my head off.
That net thing that tightens and it squeezes you or whatever. Now, but the thing is, though, is, Steven, you would never harm someone who isn't armed. Is that right?
I'm not saying that.
We already know.
I think he needs another.
Well, by not harm anyone that isn't armed, you mean armless people he doesn't hurt because they can't defend themselves.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was bad. I know.
What the hell?
Now,
as you know, King Kong can rip your arms out and beat you over the head with it.
No, that's a Wookiee.
No, we're talking about the King Kong game.
Now,
never mind.
All right, you guys ready to do some DVDs?
Yeah.
All right, Bill, what DVDs are coming out this week? I'm sure a lot of great ones.
Yeah, this is a really awful week for DVDs, people. There are maybe 3 DVDs of mention out of a couple hundred that are being released. November 15th, 2005, we have Stealth, the widescreen special edition with Jessica Biel, Josh Lucas, and Jamie Foxx.
May I also say Jessica Biel's buttocks in one scene.
And Jessica Biel's buttocks.
It's Jamie Foxx!
Because
everyone knows
itself.
Jessica Biel is in a bikini for 3 seconds, but it's worth renting for that.
Oh,
okay,
God.
I have to read this. I have to read this description off the back of the DVD because it's really funny.
Okay.
From the director of Triple X in the Fast and the Furious comes an exhilarating epic blockbuster starring Josh Lucas, Jessica Biel, and Academy Award winner Jamie Foxx. breathtaking from takeoff. It thrusts you in the cockpit, hits Mach 5, and never looks back.
Man, that's a... sold!
What in the hell?
Did they watch the same movie?
Yeah.
Like my body.
Okay, so second one is an independent film I saw last year that was entertaining. It wasn't great, but it's worth a rental, called The Educators.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a group of best friends. They're weird. They want to change the world, all this stuff. So they break into homes, but they rearrange everything, leaving a message that says your days of plenty are numbered, I think it was. And then they end up kidnapping this business guy that catches them in the act.
Skip to the end.
It's a good movie. It's not great. Rent
it. I have no idea what this movie's about. What?
I'm lost. I'm sitting here just staring into space.
Shut up. Silence, you people please. Are awful. And it's spelled EDUKATORS. Who directed it?
Yes.
A guy named Hans Weingartner.
What is it called? You said Educators?
Yeah, The Educators.
I'd like you to consider Scientology. EDUKATORS.
Oh, okay.
Put it on your Netflix. It's a good movie.
I'll do that. I'm checking it out.
Okay, yeah. And last, Buffy the Vampire Slayer Complete Series Collection. This is a 40-disc DVD set, seasons 1
Holy
through 7.
Holy crap.
My God.
Cast and crew commentary, season overviews, behind the scenes, outtakes, scripts, special interviews, signed letter from Josh Whedon, all new Buffy roundtable discussion, all kinds of stuff.
What is a Buffy roundtable discussion?
I don't know. It doesn't explain it. It just says Buffy roundtable discussion.
Oh, yeah.
But I ordered this a couple months ago, whenever they first announced it, back on Amazon for $120.
Nice.
But since then, they've been slowly increasing the price, and now it's up to $166.
Wow.
So if you were lucky enough to order it a few months back, you're going to get it for $120. But
wow.
It's a cool box with 40 discs. That's insane.
That's a lot.
You know, that'd be one of those
for
things.
For $120, 40 discs every episode
that's
of
good.
Buffy. This is perfect for a person that loved Firefly and really wants to look into other things. And, you know, you can watch every episode of Buffy from the start.
I love you. You complete me.
Apparently,
oh, God.
Apparently, I think that Foggy's a huge Buffy fan.
Well, I was going to say, talking about stealth, I was looking up the reviews for it, and I think the highest review I found for it was a 4.5 out of 10.
But that's what does that matter? It's got Jessica Biel in a bikini.
For 3 seconds?
Maybe four. May...
Jason, need I remind you of Into the Blue?
Yes, that
it's
was
got
not
Jessica
worth...
Alba in a bikini throughout.
I did finally see
the
Into the Blue, and it was, let's just not go there.
Yeah.
Struggling.
Now, I will say this. I did see Blade 3 Trinity, or Blade Trinity, whatever it's called.
Yeah,
and,
I've seen that.
It was not as good as the first two.
It's
entertaining. It's Blade, but you know what? What the hell? I don't want to talk about
it. It bastardized.
It was one of those movies that they made for money.
Yeah,
you know, it had some really great actors in it.
First
it had
of all, what
Ryan Reynolds, Parker Posey.
What the hell is the Prison Break guy doing in this?
And was he advertising the iPod, right?
Yeah, and what was with the iPod thing?
Yeah, okay, before they're going to go to the big epic battle, Jessica Biel goes on iTunes and downloads
her
favorite
songs. Yeah, and she loads her iPod up and slips it in.
It's like,
and I'm sorry, those earbuds you get with the iPod suck.
They do not stay in your
no
ears.
There's no way in hell they're staying in your ears while you're fighting vampires.
Or even sound good. They crackle when you turn it on.
Well, yeah, they're awful.
But not only that, when you're fighting karate and stuff, or, you know, vampire...
those little earbuds won't stay in.
Right, not
and
only
you know
that,
what?
But when you're listening to music, someone's sneaking up behind you, how are you going to hear them?
You've
exactly.
got that sense, dude.
She has eyes in the back of her head. The other Blade movies weren't... Was one of them PG-13?
I don't
Is that
think
the second
so.
One?
I think the most recent one. No. The second one was incredibly violent. There's no
yeah,
way.
But I don't know. There was just something about this one. It was less violent and just more F and this,
worst
F and that.
Episode
no, they're all rated
ever.
R. They're
now,
rated
I thought the second one, believe it or not, I know the first one is really good, but I love the second one. The
second one's terrific.
I think the bad guy, Nomak, is awesome. I just love the second one. So,
well, the first one, Steven Dorff, please, bad casting.
This is the 3-foot hobbit dude is the vampire god or whatever.
Yeah, it was just bad.
Oh, switch off.
Now, Bill, what other DVDs you got?
That's it.
Oh, that's it. Wow.
That is it.
Short week.
So much to look forward to.
Now,
yeah, there's really not much this week at all.
Now, let me just reiterate like I do every week with that big word. Now, last week I said go to nowheremulberry@gmail.com. That was not our email.
Mistake.
Like it matters. Nobody's going to go anyway.
We are at nimpodcast@gmail.com. Send us an email. Send Vanessa some mail on why you think that... Moulin Rouge is the greatest movie ever, and she
yeah. Send
know what
me
she's
your diatribe.
Yeah. Also, Foggy was very upset over Talented Mr. Ripley. Send us something there. Go to our website at nowheremulberry.com. Join our forum, and there you can talk to all of us except Steven. Steven never goes on there. But in Steven's defense, he's
the link for the forums on the right-hand side of the screen under Join.
Steven, in your defense, you're in L.A., which has no internet, so you couldn't get on there. So
I've been working a lot here the past 2 weeks, so I'm sorry. I'll try and get on more often.
That's a great thing.
Excuses.
Right.
I've been working 15-hour days for 2 weeks, so...
And go and take my polls.
May
I
we all make the
put
pledge...
Another one up.
Can we all make the
I've
pledge...
You take polls on there?
Yeah.
What about polls, Vanessa?
On news stories.
Oh, like oh, yes.
Oh,
yes.
Poll, P-O-L-L-S.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was P-O-L-E-S.
They sound alike. They're homonyms, so...
Now, guys... may we all promise our fans right now, oh God, I sound ridiculous when I say the word fans.
I know, all two of them.
When we talk to our listeners.
When we talk to Andy.
Yeah.
And David and Jen.
And David and Jen.
And David Jen.
Jen and David.
Pretty much just more Foggy in general.
And,
oh God.
And Jen.
Hi, this is Jen.
And I got to give a shout out to the fans. From one of the forums I visit regularly, a local radio talk show host named Kurt Boster, great guy. Fans at cbzplayhouse.com, that forum, they listen to the show also, so I got to give a shout out to
thank
those guys.
You.
Yes,
thank you
everyone for listening.
And send us email.
Yeah, send us some email. Send a voicemail. Hey, even if you want to plug your own podcast, you want to plug your own website, say, you know, hey, this is Grover from
Cincinnati.
Blah, 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 .com. You know, hey, that's cool.
Grover from the movie House Arrest.
Oh, man, I love any House Arrest comments. All right, guys, let's go.
Emmy-worthy.
It's not finished! It's finished!